be bold and be brave and just go for it.
As photographers, we are always looking for powerful images that will hold time and place, that will draw people in and symbolize something universal, something shared, something emotional.
Everybody needs to see what's going on everywhere. Pictures just stand out. This is how we remember.
Insights, kits, and the conversations that matter with the world's leading photographers and filmmakers in Shutter Stories. A true hybrid camera, the Canon EOS R5C marries the uncompromising video of cinema EOS with superior quality still images. And in today's episode, we're going to find out all about it. Hello and welcome to Shutter Stories with me, your host, Lucy Hedges. Now, joining me today is videographer and drone pilot with a passion for travel and the environment, Kevin Clerk. Now, he has been busy putting the smallest cinema EOS camera to date through its paces. So I look forward to picking his brain on that very, very shortly. We're also joined by Canon European product marketing specialist, Aaron Wandhawa, who is here to give us the lowdown on precisely what this incredible camera can do. So first things first, welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hi there, Lucy. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. So, Aaron, I'm going to kick things off with you. Could you give us a quick lowdown, so in around 60 seconds or so, on the main features of the EOS R5C and what it offers users?
Absolutely. So with the EOS R5C, we like to say that this camera is ready for anything. It's lightweight, it's incredibly compact, but it's so powerful for both filmmaking and photography. We're talking about a camera that has 8K, full frame, long duration recording in so many different professional recording formats, as well as super high resolution 45 megapixel stills. So make no mistake about it, this is a professional hybrid cinema camera that's so versatile.
Well, it definitely sounds like a high-end camera for sure. So who'll be using this camera, Aaron?
So many people, from high-end cinema productions to people creating music videos, corporate videos, indie film, weddings, and even social media. You name it. You'll notice that the kind of people I was talking about there are mainly filmmakers, because This is primarily a filmmaking camera first, even though it has all of those great photography features. But if your main focus is photography, then perhaps the original EOS R5 is more suitable.
Yeah. So they're talking about a camera that will find a home in so many different shooting environments.
Yeah, definitely. Even if it's top-end, high-end cinema, they're going to appreciate the full frame, the 8K and the RAW recording. But yeah, anybody who's using it for social media will love the very compact size of it, as well as its great affordable price point. And then thinking about people who are weddings too, who want that versatility of being able to shoot high resolution video and stills together. So such a flexible product.
Yeah, lots of tantalizing features there. And Kevin, you had the opportunity to use the new hybrid camera while filming on the gorgeous island of Madeira. You know, it sounds like a really tough gig there. Could you give us a sneak peek behind the scenes of the shoot? How did it go down?
Yeah, I was very enthusiastic about this travel and getting this camera with me. As Aaron said, it's like a very light and small camera, but you can get 8K RAW in it. So it was like kind of new things for me, shooting in RAW with this very high resolution. So it was like a really, really nice adventure there.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, using it on the shoot, talk us through, you know, how you found it on day to day, what was easy, what was fun, what was really useful.
The menu, to be honest, that's very simple to change the resolution, the frame rate. And a thing I really like about it is on the top left corner, you have like a small button. You just have to turn on the left to get the stills mode, on the right to get the video mode. And it's like, you really feel you have two cameras in your hand.
Wow. So, you know, when you were armed with this camera and you took it out of your kit bag for the first time, what were those first moments like? What were those first impressions?
The weight. To be honest, the main thing was the weight. Like, that's a very small body and you get 8K. And that was my first impression with it. To be like such a professional camera in such a small body.
Yeah, and that's so important, isn't it? When you're kind of shooting all day or however lengthy the shoots were, you know, you need something that's not going to be unwieldy or weighty. You kind of want it to be an extension of your arm.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, when you travel, you have to really take care about the weight of your gear. And getting such a low weight of a camera, like, it really helps because you have so many things to bring with you on a shoot. When you travel, like lenses, and in your drone sometimes, and to have such a lightweight camera, it's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. So you use the drone during the shoot. Drone shoots are always very, very cool and fun. So what makes drone videography different from shooting normal video, and how did the EOS R5C, you know, kind of fulfill those requirements?
The thing is, we put the camera on the drone and on the FPV drone, firstly, and it was like, you know, getting 8K raw footage, like 50 and 60p from the sky, you get just amazing footage. Yeah. So it was like really, really impressive. And I'm working on it actually currently. And it's like, just like every time I watch it, it's like, wow, you have so many details in the frame you can crop in. And it's like, that's incredible.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those mind-blowing moments when you look back at the footage and just think, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how would you say the R5C is perfect for drone shots? What makes it so good for taking to the skies?
Same, the weight. That's very important to have a low weight when you put a drone, camera on a drone, because you can fly longer. So it's very helpful for that. And yeah, you get full frame on in the sky, full frame sensor, really, really nice.
And how did the camera's long record time aid your work? You know, is this useful for recording mounted to a drone?
On the drone, yeah, we just start recording before the flight, just before launching the drone, and then it was just keeping recording during maybe 7 to 10 minutes. Without stopping the recording. And it works pretty well.
I think it's really interesting that you have such a lengthy record time. I think when drones first came out, and a lot of it's about the drone, it's about the hardware, but it's also about the camera. But the two of them combined really didn't give off high quality, long, lengthy recording. So it's really nice to know that this is something that you can achieve with this camera and with a drone setup. I think a lot of people will be really itching to put this thing into the sky. So the camera is also compatible with the new Canon RF 5.2mm f2.8L dual fisheye. It's a groundbreaking lens that brings 180-degree VR to users, which we have talked about in a previous episode of Shutter Stories. So Aaron, what does this mean for filmmakers and the type of content they'll be able to create?
That's a great question, Lucy. So this new VR lens is so innovative, and it works with our existing EOS R5 camera. And the reason why it's such a great solution is because with virtual reality, you need to be recording two images at once, one for the left eye and one for the right eye. And the majority of cameras on the market these days are 4K, which is fine for 4K deliverables. But with virtual reality, you need 4K resolution for each of the eyes for it to be an immersive content that you can really get into. So having the combination of this single fisheye lens with a single 8K camera makes the workflow so much easier. It means you don't need to have two separate cameras working together. You have a single lens, single camera, and then single video file that you'll then process into the computer. And the EOS R5C really does take it to the next level, because this camera, not only does it have 8K, but it has, as you mentioned, long duration recording thanks to its active cooling fan. So this camera can keep recording for as long as you need it to. And one of the super cool things is it can even record up to 8K 60p. So even though this is an 8K 30p camera, if you were to insert an external power supply, then the camera kind of goes into superhero mode, and it can shoot at 8K 60 frames per second, which really is amazing. And it's fantastic for virtual reality because that's making the motion so much more fluid. So this EOS R5C and the VR lens, they're perfect companions to each other.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of like a dream partnership. What I love about this lens, though, is that, you know, we've seen lots of dual fisheye lenses before, but maybe not something as high-end as this that works with such high-end cameras. I feel like this is, you know, breaking new territory here.
Oh, absolutely. It's the first of its kind. And just because it's a type of strange type of lens, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have the same type of quality that you would expect from Canon RF mount lenses. It still has all of that engineering expertise and lens optics, as well as coatings that you would expect to have a really crisp image. And then you match that with an 8K sensor, and we think it's something that the virtual reality community are going to be very excited about.
Yes, and virtual reality is just growing by the day, by the week, isn't it? So I don't doubt for a second there are going to be a lot of people jumping to team these two together. Staying in the realm of RF mounts, Kevin, I'm going to come back to you. Now, the RF mount allows for a suite of RF lenses for videography and photography to be used. So what lenses did you use during the shoot, and what did they enable you to achieve?
We used both. Like, I really like to use the prime manual lens. So we got the Canon cinema lenses, which I used, and which are like the quality of these lenses is just incredible. And on the other side, we did some shoot on a boat at the back of the car, you know, when it's moving a lot. So are the RF lenses I used for this scene, and it's very helpful for the autofocus. I really like to mix both, depending on the situation and of the shoot. It's really every different scene you have to use sometimes different lenses, so we depend.
And how important is shooting handheld for you in creating content? I imagine it's quite handy in your line of work.
Yeah, that's something I really like. I mean, most of the time I shoot handheld because you can get like this like organic movement in your footage, which makes for me like the footage looks more natural, and I really prefer. I would say I shot like 90% of the time handheld.
Wow. So I guess the camera's, you know, lightweight and compact body really helped, as I imagine, image stabilization.
Yeah. You get like a stabilization in the settings you can add. And I mean, it cropped a bit, but it's not even noticeable. So it's really helped also for the stabilization, which is great.
And I guess when you are shooting handheld 90% of the time, you really, really need a bit of kit that's going to be able to keep up with you and do exactly what you want, especially as maybe fatigue starts to kick in by the end of the day and things like that.
Yeah. That's very important for me. When you get a small body, getting handheld footage can be like a bit tricky because it moves more than when it's a big camera. So getting like it's small stabilization really helps to get very good footage.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk to me about what it was like shooting in low light. How did the camera perform?
So we did two scenes in low light situation. The first one, so it was on the boat early morning for the sunrise. We left with the fishermen around 6 a.m. So I was with them on the boat. The boat we were moving a lot. And the sun just came out just behind them, and it was like I just watched at night the footage, and I've been very, very impressed about the quality. It's just like there is no noise, and it's just so clean footage.
Yeah.
And the second one, we used a low light situation. It was for the Lufia, but we shot in a small workshop, and same, like very clean footage and no noise. So it was, I was really impressed, honestly, about the low light capacity of this camera.
Yeah, so it was another one of those moments where you went back to look at your footage and you were like, wow, this footage looks incredible.
The thing is, you know when you shoot, you know it's good, but you don't know how good it is before watching it on a computer.
Yeah.
This is the thing. And when I came back, it was like, whoa, okay, you work pretty well in low light situations.
So I know we spoke a lot about 8K, you know, how impressed you are with the footage, but just talk me through what advantages 8K offers you as a filmmaker.
You have many advantage of the 8K. First of all, for example, I was shooting and a triathlete. I was at the back of the car and I was shooting with the 270 to 200 millimeter lens. So I got a face and an 8K footage. And you can still get like a 100% crop and you still have very high resolution footage. It's like you can get two different footage in one. And you have so many more opportunities for your film and makes so much possibilities for the edit, which is like incredible.
I think it also gives you so much more freedom when shooting as well. You know, obviously you're thinking about the shot and the frame, but then you've got a chance to reframe it and zoom in or zoom back out and focus on different parts. So it gives you that extra editing freedom post-shoot.
Exactly. You did in a much better way than than me, but that's exactly what I mean. Like you have so much more possibilities for the edit with the 8K, and it's like, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. And Kevin, could you give us a tiny hint, a little hint about what we can expect to see from the film that you shot in Madeira?
I wrote a poem, which is going to be the voiceover of the film. And we asked Lufir to read this poem. So it's going to be the voiceover. That's very, okay, so small clue, the voiceover is actually the voice of the island, talking about herself.
Oh, nice.
We wanted something epic, the island is talking about all the wilderness, all the mood, the feeling, the emotion of the place. And this is what I want to transcribe through the voiceover. And so it's going to be a mix of the voice of the Lufir and all the footage we had during this week.
It sounds like it's going to be absolutely stunning. So, and it also sounds like maybe you've thrown some time-lapse photography or some time-lapse footage in there. Am I right by saying that?
Yeah. The thing is, and the still mode in this camera, you have inside intervalometer, which really helps to get a very nice time lapse. Mm. So we did many time lapse, and on the first day when we were at the top of the island, we were very lucky because the sky was really, really clear, and I had the opportunity to shoot many, maybe at least 10 very good time lapse.
Yeah.
So and the thing is, that's 45 megapixel sensor. So you have your full frame time lapse, and you can, that's kind of the same one for the 8K. You can crop in the frame to get another time lapse.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds beautiful. I'm looking forward to seeing it. So let's move on now and talk about where the R5C sits within the current Canon ecosystem and, you know, the future of hybrid shooting. So this is the first cinema EOS camera to feature dedicated photography capabilities, as Aaron mentioned earlier. So Kevin, another question for you. What opportunities does this offer to someone like you?
To be honest, I'm not considering myself as a photographer. I'm always considering being a camera regarding the video capacities and all these features the camera can have. But on this one, you don't have to compromise anything. You have already both in your hand. You have a very good video camera and a very good still camera. And I think that's the point, which is very important on this new camera. It's you don't have to compromise anything anymore.
Yeah, and I guess even though someone like you, you know, you're constantly shooting footage, it's nice to know that feature is there and it's reliable and you can pull it out whenever you need to if the situation calls for it.
Yeah. I mean, And on my previous shoot, I used to travel with my cinema camera. And on the side, I use like a traditional stills camera. So now I can just get only one and it does both charts.
Yeah, and lessening that travel load once again.
Yeah, exactly.
So Aaron, where does it sit within the current Canon ecosystem? You know, it combines the photographic capabilities of the R5 and the video capabilities of the EOS C70. Am I right by saying that?
So it's really interesting. This camera is creating this seamless bridge between our EOS R system and our Cinema EOS range of cameras. And it features the best of both worlds, the best of cinema and the best of photo. It doesn't necessarily sit above or below the R5s, the original R5. These cameras sit side by side. And if you're somebody like Kevin, who mentioned he doesn't necessarily take photos a lot. He is a dedicated filmmaker, but photography is still incredibly useful for him. When he was out there in the island, he would occasionally use the burst mode to make use of a faster shutter, or he would use a time-lapse sequence and incorporate that into his film. So those high-resolution stills are really useful for filmmakers too. Or as I mentioned, you could be at a wedding and you want to take high-resolution pictures too. But then the R5 is, the original R5 is a stills focused camera. It's a little bit more compact, and it has a few more stills focused features such as IBIS, whereas the EOS R5C has cinema features such as the RAW and the XFAVC recording and a lot of other things that are very useful for filmmakers, such as waveform monitors, lookup tables and things like that. So they're cameras that offer more choice for people. It sits slightly below the C70 as well, whereas the C70 is a more dedicated filmmaking tool, which has things like XLRs and ND filters built into it. But what's really interesting about the R5C is it bridges that gap. It gives you that high fidelity image quality and 8K video recording all in one body. So it's a very interesting camera.
Yeah, it definitely sounds. I love that it's, you know, borrowed a few bits from its EOS siblings and then fused them together into this super lightweight, compact, powerful camera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's also, it's very similar to the R5 in many ways. It is physically very similar, but we've made some changes specifically for professional filmmaking. Physically, both the cameras are almost identical, but we've made some changes for professional filmmaking, such as adding an active cooling fan to enable long duration recording. And that's regardless of what mode you're recording in. You could be recording 8K 60p, 4K 120p, oversampling the sensor. The camera will keep recording for as long as you need, which is fantastic for professional filmmakers. We've also added a timecode terminal for synchronizing multiple cameras on the same production, which is also very important for professional filmmaking. Mm. And we also have the new multifunction accessory shoe, which is a hot shoe on top of the camera, which we first introduced with the XF605 and the EOS R3. And that's adding a lot of modular options to the camera. You can add a shotgun microphone directly on top, or even full-size XLR terminals. And those accessories are both powered and communicating through the mount itself. So you don't have to worry about any cables.
Nice.
But it's not just physical changes either. We've also added professional recording formats such as Cinema RAW Lite and XFAVC. So it's giving people a lot more options for the workflows that they require. And it's even got 8K recording up to 60 frames per second with the external power supply, which is whereas the original R5 would go up to 30 frames per second. And finally, it has all of the Cinema EOS functions you would expect, such as a waveform monitor, false color, having a 180 degree shutter angle, so you can just set your shutter angle and no longer worry about it, as well as using things such as lookup tables. So there are many changes both physically and on the software side of this camera that have tailored it for that professional filmmaking market. And that's very much why it is a cinema EOS camera in its heart.
Wow, it really does sound like there's so many features for filmmakers to really sink their teeth into and, you know, kind of make the camera their own and customize the experience, which is what I always love to hear. So talking of exciting features, because there are more, there's three new versions of Cinema RAW Light and something called Dual Base ISO. So can you tell us a little bit about those?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So Cinema RAW Light is the RAW recording format that we have in our Cinema EOS cameras, and it retains the ultimate amount of information in the video file. So you can really manipulate the image in post to your creative liking and really get the most out of what the image sensor in the camera has to offer. But of course, shooting in RAW means you have to deal with huge file sizes. And sometimes that's not practical for everyone. But with the R5C, we have now introduced three new flavors of Cinema RAW Light. These are LT for light, ST for standard, and HQ for high quality. And this is all about giving people more options to find the right balance between image quality and file size that works for their requirements and for their workflow. Because when you look at the R5 in comparison, that was a camera that had compressed formats like MP4 and HEVC, or it had full RAW, but it didn't really have the scale in between to strike that balance that a lot of people are looking for in the professional filmmaking world. So this camera's got a huge scale of options from MP4 to XFAVC, and even when you're shooting in RAW, you have more flexibility. And finally, dual base ISO, that's a new feature for Canon, actually, for any of our cameras before. Yeah. And we've implemented this to enhance the sensitivity and reduce noise in low light environments. So, for example, when you're shooting in Canon Log 3, users now have the option to select two different base ISOs. That could be ISO 800 or ISO 3200. Depending on their environment. And choosing the higher option is producing a cleaner image during the darker scenes. And I was absolutely amazed, actually, when I saw the footage from Kevin's film, when we were on that boat, because we went out sailing at about 5 in the morning. You could not see anything. The sun hadn't come up yet. And you're just seeing peaks of light, tiny little peaks of light, but this camera is so clean and it's giving you such beautiful results even in the darkest environments like that. So I'm really excited for people to get their hands on this and really do test it to its limits, because the sensitivity on it is fantastic.
Wow, that really does sound like such a just incredibly useful feature that I feel that so many people are going to take advantage of. And it's just nice to be able to give photographers and filmmakers just options, you know, because what works for someone else or works for them doesn't necessarily work for someone else, you know. So it's nice to be able to customize the experience and make the camera work in a way that's going to make the best results for them.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Aaron, why is Canon launching a product like this now? So Canon recently celebrated 10 years of Cinema EOS, as I'm sure you're aware. So it's perfect timing, really.
Oh, it really is perfect timing. It's a perfect way of celebrating 10 years of Cinema EOS. We've released so many innovative products, cameras and lenses in the past decade. And the R5C really does encompass all of that heritage and all of the things that we've learned over those years. And we're releasing it now because there's a new wave or a new generation of content creators out there who are creating incredibly diverse range of productions. They could be doing corporate videos one moment. They could be doing things for social media another. And the requirements for each of these jobs can be very different. And those type of people, they need a camera that can quickly adapt to their ever-changing requirements, because sometimes they might need to shoot stills, sometimes they might need the fidelity of RAW, or sometimes they might need compressed video. But it's just giving them all of those options so that they can go out there and shoot regardless of what the requirements are.
Yeah, and I think I've said this a few times now, but I'm going to say it again. It's so important to have those options. You know, like you say, different shooting scenarios could be in the space of a couple of days, could be in the space of a day, and you need to be able to flip the script, so to speak, quickly and reliably. So it's really nice to hear that, you know, the R5C really is going to be a great companion for these kind of content creators.
Definitely. And also the switch is actually an interesting point, because I remember Kevin mentioned the switch to me, and he was really impressed about going from video to photo mode. And it sounds like such a simple thing, but when you're in video mode, you're in your own menu system specifically for filmmaking. And then when you're in photo mode, you get all of those photo features. And that's really useful for people who are focused on one task. And they don't want to, when they're shooting video, they don't want to see all of the settings that are related to photo, because there are a lot of professional photo settings in the camera, but that's not necessarily what you're looking for when you're shooting video, and vice versa. So it's really nice to separate those two at the flick of a switch. And it was great to see Kevin react to that so positively.
So Kevin, what difference will this camera make to the way that you work? You know, will it open up new opportunities and perhaps enable you to produce even more immersive storytelling?
Yeah. I think the first thing is I'm going to take more stills, of course, because it's, I mean, as Aaron said, that's just a simple switch. But sometimes you use like some kind of product just because they suit to you, they are simple to use. And this is something I really like about this camera, just this small button, very simple. And yeah, but creativity, I've been very impressed about the quality of the camera. That's the thing I said to Aaron at the end of the shoot. Like, everybody's talking about Canon colors, they're the best, blah, blah, blah. But once you try them, yeah, that's different. And for me, yeah, they are very, very, very good. And I've been very impressed about them. So, you know, like when you're traveling, when you can trust the gear you have with you, that's very important. Yeah, for me, that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, I bet you can't wait to go out shooting with it again, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And Aaron, finally, do you see the demand for hybrid cameras increasing? And if so, why?
Absolutely. It's interesting because hybrid cameras have been around for quite a while. The 5D Mark II was a huge success for Canon because of its hybrid functionalities. That was back in 2008, because not only did it have great professional stills, but it could also shoot amazing full HD video. And even though those video functions were very simple, it was a fantastic product. But now we're seeing technology develop to all new heights, where for the first time, we're seeing professional levels of cinematic filmmaking, you know, just fit into the palm of your hands alongside professional photography. So there's no longer two separate camera systems for those two different things. And that really does open the door to all new creative opportunities, like we're seeing with Kevin and what he could achieve with his film in Madeira. And I'm sure when more content creators like Kevin get their hands on cameras like this, it's going to set a new standard, and they're going to struggle to go back, because creative people don't want to feel restricted. And when the door opens for them to do more things, then they're going to embrace that. So I really do think this is the start of a whole new way of creating content.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't doubt for a second there are people listening to this podcast merely salivating at the thought of getting their hands on this camera and getting creative and really putting it through its paces and all the really fun, creative features that you guys have made the effort to put into this camera.
Oh, absolutely. And we just can't wait for people to go out and try it.
Yeah, just something I want to add. It's like the as Aaron said, there's many features in this camera, like the waveform, like there is a new help for the focus when you manual focus. And it's, for me, for example, it really helps because I use external monitor to get the waveform. And, you know, when you have like, when you travel, you have your camera, and if you add like an external monitor, you rig it a little bit, it gets heavier. And sometimes when you travel, you want to get some in like local place, like museum-like place. And to get this camera in such a small body, which really looks like a traditional camera, really helps to get in and not get bothered by people around you. It's really helpful, like, to get this. I don't know if you get the point I want to say, but having all these features in this camera for travel, it's really helpful. You don't have to get with you all the extra gear I used to travel with.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like revolutionized your work setup. It's changed the way you set things up and work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think another great thing about this camera is we've mentioned it's compact and it's lightweight, but it's also so durable and so tough. And anyone who's used the EOS R5 would know that it's a very premium feeling camera that is a workhorse and can go through loads of different conditions. And Kevin really did test this camera to the extreme. He was in the misty forests where there was lots of rain. He was by the ocean where the waves were crashing and the camera was getting quite wet. It worried me a little bit, but actually it was perfectly fine. And one of the great things is, even though it has a fan, some people might be concerned that, oh, if it's got airflow going through it, it might be more delicate, or it could have issues with its sealing. But it still has the same dust and weather sealing as the original R5, because the fan is completely separate to any of the electronics. So it gives you that confidence to just go out there, shoot what you need, and you know that you have a really reliable camera that you can trust.
Yeah, it's when I shot Philip at the triathlon in the forest, it was quite raining a bit, and I had some water drop on the camera and almost all over the camera, and I mean, it worked very fine and very well, and no problem at all. So yeah, it's very was perfect using it in tough condition.
Yeah, I think it's always good to know. It's always great to have that peace of mind that your camera can withstand the elements, just in case the weather goes a bit crazy and things get a bit wet or a bit dry or a bit cold, you know. So it's nice to, it's good to know you can rely on it.
Exactly.
So Aaron, where can people find this film? Where will they be able to see it?
You'll be able to watch it on the Canon Europe YouTube channel, as well as on our Canon Europe webpage for the EOS R5C. I'd recommend you go onto the webpage, because you'll also get to see loads of great still images from the shoot as well. Madeira is such a beautiful island. It's got so many different areas. You've got the forest, the mountains, the ocean, and you get a real sense of what the camera can capture in all of those environments when you look at the product page.
Yeah, wow, I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And that brings us to a close of another episode of Shutter Stories on all things R5C. We're talking about a camera that is ready for anything. It's lightweight, it's compact, it's durable, it's also powerful for filmmaking and photography. It's got 8K full frame long duration recording, available in a number of formats, a 45 megapixel sensor, dual base ISO, and that's only really scratching the surface of the features that are baked into this hybrid camera. I'd like to thank my guests, Kevin and Aaron, for sharing their knowledge of and experiences with this exciting new camera. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
A real pleasure. And of course, thanks to you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can rate and subscribe in the episode's listing. If you have any thoughts or feedback on today's episode or the podcast as a whole, why not reach out to us on social media? You'll find our details in the description below. We'd love to hear from you.